I mean, it sounds really cool, but what's the point of it on the end of, say, on Harvard's end? Like, what's the benefit to the students, like to you, to do this?
Well, for the benefit to me, I mean, is obvious. It's job opportunities, chances to expand my public speaking skills and workshop building skills. And then also, it just ties the development in Asia closer to the university through alumni. So then it provides Harvard graduates even more accessibility to all the amazing opportunities that are out there. So it's a full win-win. Plus, while I'm over there, I'll be meeting, like in every country, senior executives of major corporations. I'll be meeting national leaders in politics. It will be fucking unbelievable.
That's awesome.
I'll make sure I'm set up to be flexible in it. To get personal coaching clients and then also start examining like the next run of strata,
Very
whatever
cool.
that's going to be. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Definitely let me know if you have any questions about it. I'm getting ready to leave to close down Southeast Asia and move on to Europe, but it's been a good ride, and I love Southeast Asia. If you're into the Wild West kind of environment, it's awesome. Cool. Who else do we have here? BJ, what's going on?
Not much time has things.
Good, man. Everything's going well with the brewery.
It is. Yeah, I've been getting some really good insight from a mentor that I'm working with out here who works for or worked for Jose Cuervo. Yeah, it's giving me some really good
Ooh,
stuff.
nice. Nice. Are you guys talking like the branding piece of it yet, or what's the deal? I'm really curious about that. I definitely want to hear stories from that.
Yeah, so for the branding piece, it's I'm working through a company called Eat My Words out of San Francisco. Really,
Cool.
what they're doing is finding me a name right now, and then they're also working on some product ideas. So once I get a name, I'd like to kind of keep the products aligned with that. And no, but the mentor itself is actually guiding me through the whole legal process, the alcohol licensing thing, which is just crazy. But I'm glad I got a guy who knows what he's doing.
Hey, have you
It's
started
awesome.
looking at
Yeah.
artwork yet?
Oh,
Wait,
go
okay,
ahead.
someone was saying something.
Have you started looking at artwork for the beer?
Not yet. In fact, once I in fact, what I'm going to start looking at that once I get a name, because I think that's going to kind of drive the culture and the branding. But no, I've not looked at any artwork yet.
I have a really good friend. She does all the artwork for Off Color Brewery in
Okay.
Chicago, and it launched that brewery completely. Like they were doing pretty good sales, and then they got a very unique artwork, and it
Okay.
changed their whole business. She's really tied into the beer arts scene in Chicago.
Oh,
She's
yeah.
actually going to thing. She actually sent me something on like a meetup, like a cool like I don't know what to describe, like an art show for beer in like a bar. I
Sure.
went to one like 2 years ago. It was really cool. So if you're interested, shoot me an email.
Yeah, that I'd love to. I mean, that would rock. I mean, the beer scene in Chicago is just so cool. It really, even though it's not as big as here in San Diego, there's just like it's just got a really cool character to it. Now, yeah, I'd love to, if you don't mind, I'd love to chat with her.
Yeah, I just sent you my email. Just shoot me an email, and I'll forward it on.
Okay, thanks, brother. Appreciate that.
Yeah, totally. That's too easy.
All right, guys. Antonio here. We're a couple minutes past the hour, and I'm going to get into a presentation on SEO. I'm going to zip through the slides because I'd rather you guys ask me questions and let me be able to help you guys out. organic traffic is going to be the focus. And I am recording the session, recording my screen. So all this should go. Let me make sure screen. Yep, main monitor one. And I am, let me see, chat. I saw a few of you guys out there. Michelle, good to see you. Joe, Dave, BJ, Ben, Adam. All right. And Tom, can you post in the on the Facebook group? I sent out an email to everybody. If we can just put out a reminder.
Right now.
Okay. Now, really quick, a little bit of admin. Tom and I spoke. This summer, things are going to slow down. I'm going to be in Ukraine for a solid 6 weeks, and then I'm heading out to Anaheim, California. So if anyone's out in Southern California, please let me know. I'll be in Anaheim for about almost a week at VidCon. And it's a cool conference. It's a cool conference because you get to see the power of video and the way it can influence people. So I will be there. And so if anyone is in Southern Cal, BJ, I know you're reasonably close, just in San Diego, but let me know and we'll find a time to connect. Again, I'll be there from the 21st to the 31st, night of the 21st, late, and then so really pretty much the 22nd. And then till the morning of the 31st.
What does that antenna?
I'll be in Anaheim, California for VidCon. So
right. What month?
That's July.
July. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. So June, July, and August, we're going to reduce the number of these Monday meetings to about two. I will not. We're going to have one on June 1st and June 8th. So the beginning of that month. And we're going to have one also on the 25th, so that will be as planned. You know, we have the 25th, 1st, and then the 8th. But after the 8th, we're going to take the 15th, 22nd, 29th. There'll be no meetings on those 3 weeks. Instead, what we'll do is we'll be going more for one-on-ones, seeing where people are at. Then in July, Tom's going to host two meetings. He'll get those. Tom, did you have those dates?
For
July,
you can
pass it on later.
Yep. So I have, let's see, marked out. Yep, I'm tracking the ones in June, July, and August that we've blocked out that we will still have. And so what I'll do is I'll update the actual calendar that you guys can see in High Speed Elite on the live. Let's see, it's on the live training calendar. So if you click on that, guys, I'll update that calendar today to get the updated actual live calls.
Yep. Don't forget you got the live calendar over here. Well, it should pop up. Then you got your live training calendar, login details, recorded sessions, where I will put this one, and boom, it should pop up over here on your live training calendar. Now, let's quickly talk about the task tracker. We're pretty much, you should have access to everything. Everything is live. However, not everyone is knocking through everything. And I would have to say that, you know, Mark is just kicking butt. This guy, you know, out there in Nebraska, he's just making things happen. Must have been he went to my StyleCon event. But because of, you know, all the effort they put in here, Module 5, again, Team Blue took it. So, you know, I would like to see a little bit more from you know, especially Team White, you guys got to pick up the pace. I'm not going to even look at Module 6 and Module 7 till I'll look at Module 6 next week and then Module 7. This stuff is important. I know it, you know, you may feel your hot. Again, you put into this what you get out of it. But this is a basic understanding of a lot of the tech stuff because you can easily be overwhelmed with all of the tech out there from the physical tech to how to stay, you know, reach global audience versus fans versus traffic. This one alone is worth understanding because I stole this one from, I think it was it 37 Signals? And really, if you can understand this one right here, you'll really start to understand why it's so important that you build your email list. Because today we're going to talk about traffic. But honestly, I don't really care about traffic. I care about you building up an audience, which is the primary thing we want to do. And if you don't know the difference between audience, fans, and traffic, then you're just going to run, we're going to have issues, because you're going to be impressed by, you know, I can show you some analytics. Oh, you know, we're getting, you know, what is it? I don't know. What? Yesterday I got 32,000 people to my website. You may be impressed by that. But honestly, the smart person is asking, okay, Antonio, but what does that mean for your bottom line? What does that mean in terms of sales? How much of that traffic are you turning into fans, and how many of those fans are you turning into an audience that will buy from you, that you can sell to? And again, that's what we get into here in the content and why that's important, because I'm going to give you guys I've got 40 slides for you on SEO and all this other stuff, because you guys asked for it and I want to definitely give you some value. But within this course is going to be really, I mean, this is I took my MBA training and my online education from Mixergy, Rise to the Top, all, you know, Entrepreneur on Fire. We all brought it together here and distilled it, kind of like a high alcohol ball of, what's that stuff, BJ? What was it called? Everclear? It's kind of like a little bit of, you know, this is like Everclear. You know, it's got that 90% proof stuff.
Moonshine.
You shouldn't drink. You got to be careful when you drink this stuff. It's all strong and condensed. So, all right. So module 5, module 6, module 7, go through. I noticed a lot of you guys haven't been able to knock through it. So really quick, what do I know about traffic? So that's just one of my websites, Real Men Real Style. I've got a lot of other websites. In fact, this one, even a tailoredsuit.com. I don't really do – this is just an information portal. It used to be my custom clothier, and on a daily basis, we get 2,500 people a day. I mean, but honestly, I don't do much with this anymore. I don't sell clothing from it. I'm actually going to transition it into an information portal. I may turn it into an affiliate link site. I would like to get the traffic up, but, you know, you can see, I mean, this is the stuff behind. But what I really get a lot of – I think people recognize is, oh, you do pretty well with getting traffic to Real Men Real Style. And here's kind of the path to it, by the way. So if we look over a period of 5 years, you'll see I started with zero. I, you know, started getting what, 40, 70, 80. Then all of a sudden we started getting a little bit of traffic, 500. All of a sudden started building up 400, 400, 800, 800. And if I would have quit after that first year, yeah, you know, I was getting, and I, Brian, are you out there?
Yeah.
You've had days like this, right? Where you get over 1,000 people to your website?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, and that feels good, and that's cool. But, you know, it, depending on what your business model is, you know, that may be a great thing. And that may be a, you know, Joe, if you're selling directly those sales pages, and you've got your average sale is going to be, let's say, in the $500 to $1,000 point, this may be all the traffic you need to get the business going. But for me, I sell a lot of lower priced items. We make a lot of money with affiliate links and various things. So Dave, you know, this may be of interest to you because you want to get that traffic up to be able to make it with affiliate links, or to be able to get money as you send people over to resource pages so you can sell them products and you can sell them the add-ons, and therefore you can get the large commission from guys like Ramit Sethi or anyone else that's paying $500 to $800 a commission. So once you start getting in this range, it gets interesting because you get a lot of opportunities that start coming to you versus you having to seek them out. But notice, you know, I'm still 2 years into the journey. And then we had some setbacks. In fact, like I had traffic just cave down. I think it was Christmas. It just fell. We were actually hacked. And I thought I was going to, you know, it was just really bad. I had to take my site down. Traffic. And then we started doing, so this was built off video. Steady climb. Video is not normally going to bring you or like just viral growth, but it can bring you very steady growth. So this, a lot of this is in part to YouTube and my relationship with the Art of Manliness. Then, boom, we started getting some spikes. One day I had like, what was it? 100,000 people come to my website. Now, a couple things. What do you think happens to your website when you get 100,000 people to it, Dave?
It crashes.
It does crash, unless you're on a good server. And mine didn't crash. I use GoDaddy. I don't know why. I have no problem with GoDaddy, but it didn't crash for me. And they actually scale up. They're able to take a pretty good amount of traffic, and it did not crash. Now, Michelle, why do you think I got that much traffic?
Because of your interaction.
Part of that. That's a good answer. That's a long, but let's go with the straight up. What was the one thing that I did which, for some reason, the world just wanted? I don't know why. And it was funny. The day before this, I told my wife that Facebook does not. I don't even understand why we advertise on it, because I never saw really much traffic. And literally 2 days later, we got that spike. Most of it came from Facebook. Why do you think things got passed around?
You did a contest.
Good guess. Nope, wasn't the contest. What do you guys think?
Boosted your sales? Boosted your post?
Boosted. Michelle, come on. There was a reason why I asked you. And I didn't put up pictures of scantily clad women in outfits. But what I did put up, I put up infographics. And people really liked my infographics. So, Michelle, I'm sharing these. And by the way, my feedback would be unless it's a negative thing, I would be careful about the word skeletal. Unless it's commonly used, to me this gives off a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. I would just put, I put thin, and I would maybe even, this almost looks, but Michelle would give me she's creating some images in an industry that desperately needs images. So the thing is I went into an industry that desperately needed how a suit should fit images, and I created an infographic. And then, boom, that infographic gave me another big spike. And we've put out other infographics that have continued to bring spikes and spikes and spikes. And it's never really gone down since. So that's a little bit of the background in the traffic, and you guys can see some of this stuff here. Now, I'm going to get into the slides. Oh, go ahead.
Can we see the infographics or one of them?
Sure. Let me go ahead.
I think they're on Pinterest.
Yep, okay. I put them on Pinterest, and that's actually a great point. So, you want to be able to go into your analytics, and you want to see where are people coming from. So, and by the way, I don't really manage my info. I stay out of analytics. So direct traffic referrals. Nope. Art of Manliness still sends me quite a few. I send some to my own self. All traffic review. Let me see. You can see what articles are sending them in. I don't usually. I would see overall. I wonder why. Maybe it's social. Now, I will tell you guys that Pinterest is a huge source of my traffic. I also have multiple other websites that we experiment with. We're doing always things on. And, from sales pages to, this one, it's a Q&A website, and I just experiment with it. So, all right, and here are infographics. And I probably could even make it easier to find these. I need to share them more often. I need to get them and distribute them better. But, an ultimate guide to cufflinks infographic. So when I create – so in 5 years, BJ, do you think this infographic will still be useful?
Absolutely. I still use it. I still use your how to tie a scarf infographic.
Yeah.
So I've followed your infographics for a while. So they're and plus because you have your focus on classic style, it's absolutely pertinent.
Yep, timeless information. So that's the cool thing about putting out information, being able and that brings. So I am an educator. Now there's three E's that we want to, there's education, there's entertainment, and then there's, what is it, the last one? It's, I totally screwed this up. I don't remember what it was. It was something like, it'll come to me in a second, but basically it's, you can either be the news and you can, you know, kind of like, and you, or you can be an entertainer or you can be an educator, and preferably you're at least two of them. So does anyone know what Just Jared is?
Entertainer.
No. Yep. And does anyone know what type of entertainer? Let me see, Just Jared. Celebrity gossip. This is where the traffic's at. I mean, these guys get ungodly traffic. Continue to the site. Because they're talking about, she loves how much her fans enjoy Hot Pursuit. Harry Styles grabbed Neil Horn's crotch after Wonder. So this stuff just goes on fire. They are the news, in a sense, and they're entertaining us. They're not really educating us. So they're nailing two of them. Because when you can start to nail two of those, that's when you can really do well. I definitely think I could either do more. I could either do more entertainer. I'm not going to really try to go down the news path. So I'm trying to become a little bit more entertaining. But I would have to say I stick towards I'm more of an educator. Does anyone know of Aaron Marino, or know who that is? Mark, you met him.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron Marino. And Aaron as an educator and an entertainer.
For sure.
Yep. And he has a lot more fun. I mean, he just goes kind of crazy in some of his videos. And he's not afraid to talk about things. Yep, masturbation myths. Aaron is not afraid to cover this stuff. I'm just not going to go there. You know, it's just something that I'm just not touching. And, you know, Aaron wants to go his own route. But he does very well. And I think in many ways that's why he gets more traffic than me. And he has a bigger fan base because he also does the whole entertaining thing. So entertain, educate, or you want to be that frontline news, getting the latest and greatest out there. There's a benefit and there's a loss to each of them. Joe, what do you think's the problem with being an educator?
Joe, you out there? Can you hear me?
Yep, can hear you.
I'd probably have to say it's finding the authority first, or getting all your stuff straight.
That's part of it. Yeah, you got to do the research and stuff, but it's also kind of boring. I mean, to be honest, like, you know, it is people. If you can find a way to be the news and educate, or to entertain and educate, that to me is great. I think I'm drawn to education just because I feel it's something that will stand the test of time, and that's a big benefit. But yeah, it's definitely requires a bit more work than the other two. Okay, so we're going to talk quickly today about SEO strategies. We'll open it up. I'm going to zip through these. Let me know if you want the slides. We'll put them on the website so you can download them. But search engine optimization, not going to go into that. But basically, SEO, it's a strategy, it's techniques, and it's tactics to improve or promote a website in order to get a high ranking placement in the organic search results. So what should I look for? You guys, let me go ahead and type in. Have you guys been to Google lately? Is anyone? Let me see. If
it's my second name.
Yep. Does anyone know the algorithm that goes into this, or where what it was originally called? Starts with a B. Come on. Anyone? It's called Backrub. So this is actually comes out of their thesis when they were at Stanford, and these really two smart guys, was it Larry Page, Sergey Brin, and they basically decided that, hey, things on the web, they should be ranked in terms of what other people say about them, not what people say about themselves. And before that, Yahoo Search, MSN, I mean, all these other ones, they were actually, you could keyword stuff a website. And if you, I know some of you guys are tech, very tech savvy, so you're like, Antonio, we know all this. But if you ever go to a website, and this is where it's very useful for you to be able to read into things, you can view page source. So this is what, you know, the computers see. They see all this code, and this may be a nonsense to a lot of you guys. Other guys I know can probably read this stuff better than me. But this is what the search engines see. And it used to be what was in here was what they used to determine how you ranked. But the problem with that is that you can stuff. You can basically say all these great things about yourself versus think of it like networking or going into a party, and instead of you people listening to what you say about yourself, people actually talk to other people and they find out how you really are. And that's, if you understand that with search engines, that that's the way they do it, and that the goal of Google is, yeah, you know, maybe it's changed a little bit. It is to make money, but it's also to organize the world's information. And I truly believe that's still the purpose. So with having said that, how do you rank high in the SERPs? Okay, so part of it is to own the keyword. So you don't even have to type in Roman Real Style. We pop up. The reason being, and all this stuff, is that my website, we focused on-site optimization. This is something you can go to SEO Moz to go over a bit more detail. But all of this info, we've provided it to the search engines in a structure that makes sense. So a lot of you guys, if you're using WordPress, it does a lot of this automatically. But you for sure want to pop up for your own terms, number one. So multiple parts to it, content design, HTML, keywords, backlink, strategy, and marketing. But most of us use WordPress, and that's where we're going to focus on. Simple things. Because what do you think there's a secret to SEO? Trevor, what do you think? You think there's a secret to it?
No.
No, good. All right. That's the, and I agree. There. Now, these guys have made millions of dollars because many people think they do. And the funny thing is, and this is the website I would highly recommend, get on their email list. They send a great Friday summary update along with, they've got great stuff. But so Rand Fishkin, the founder of Moz, he formerly called SEO Moz, they basically have made plenty of money. It's funny because they actually, everyone thinks there's a secret to SEO, and it's simply following best practices and doing all of the things which add up to a large overall effect. So again, beyond this, you're going to want to go over here, check out Moz, great website, but there is no secret. It's simply doing everything that needs to be done every time, which the secret is we're lazy and we don't want to do it, which is why I'm such a fan of checklists. I have article creation checklists. And in fact, I'm going to pull up one right now. But these article creation checklists that I have my assistants go through, and I'll share it with you if you guys want one. Just ask me afterwards. Let me go to article creation checklist. There it is. So this is an article creation checklist for assembling a kick-ass article. And I usually give this. So as you can see, you know, we go into actually that one isn't that great. Let me see stuff. The word article creation. All right. Well, we do have some pretty good checklists, but as you can see, we go into this is a general one. We go into a lot more specifics. But social triggers, and this is another website, he talks about what goes into the perfect blog post and how to write it out. He doesn't go into so much of the details of the metadata and all the other HTML underneath it, but he does a very good job for the layout of the article. Okay, so starting at the very top, why do you think the title of the article is more important than the actual content of the article? What do you think? Why do you think that's true, Dave? Or not true? Dave?
Sorry, I forgot to unmute. Because it's the first thing that will convince a person whether or not it's what they're looking for, and it's also one of the biggest parts to Google SEO also, is it lets Google know that this is what the article is about.
Exactly. It's honestly, it's is this worth my time? Trevor, when you read an email, you read the headline first. Is this even worth me opening? Joe, you know, when it comes to copy, it's the first line. And Mark Twain talked about this. If you only have an hour to write an article, you spend 40 minutes or 50 minutes or something like that on the headline. Because this is where, if they do not like this, they're not going to read anything else. The rest of it does not matter if this doesn't grab them. You know, I to be straight up, I tell my writers, I'm like, hey, whenever we write something, we write for a male audience. Sorry, Michelle. You know, I'm like, hey, you need to grab them by the balls. This needs to grab their attention. I want them to – now, I don't cross certain lines. I'm not going to get into talking about sex. I'm not going to get into promising to, you know, Google's, you know, a whole bunch of money here. But I do really try to speak specifically to my audience, because it pops up right here in the search engines, and all of a sudden you start popping up for that. But if that was the only thing, it would be easy. And I tell you, I would not be at the top for how to grow a beard, which, by the way, this article itself brings me like 120,000 visitors just a month. It's crazy. So by default, the WordPress URL looks a bit more robotic. We're getting into permalinks and URL structure. So this is another thing that I'm going to get into. So notice how this is immediately my permalink. Grow PHP, how to grow a beard for the first time, 5 ways to make your beard grow fast. Those are all pretty good, but this one that's second, I can tell you, is probably eventually going to drop off. Or it's not, although this thing right here makes sense, beards and grow. This is why a good URL can really help you, because when people see this, okay, it's beards, it looks like a nonprofit, and it's about how to grow, but the PHP doesn't make too much sense. But Real Men, Real Style, how grow beard. I got down, I didn't add the, I made it, and the reason why I wanted it short is if you're talking on the phone, I'm always thinking it needs to be passable by the phone. So understand that WordPress a lot of times is going to try to put gibberish in here or try to just put numbers, and you want to be careful of making it too long, because look at this one right here, it got cut off. And you just really want to get to the point. Think of it like soup. You get rid of all that extra broth. You really want to just meat and potatoes. That's what we want here. And you can adjust that right there in WordPress. Now the title tag. It's overall used to display preview snippets. Google typically displays the 50 to 60. Now this is what's going to go into right here. So that's something, again, in a lot of your articles, you do have the power to adjust this. And oftentimes, this is what's going to pop up. So if you type in sports blazer, sports jacket, blazer suit, what's the difference? Very to the point. As an educator, I don't try to get people, you know, I don't put thumbnails of, you know, I don't know, like somebody eating a snake or something. It doesn't make sense. I would get more clicks if I did that, but that would betray the expectation of people I'm trying to. My goal is to pop up number one for these 17,000 results, and we do. So your meta description, and I'm going to – this is where we're at. Again, this is really boring stuff. That's why most people don't do it. But all of this adds up. So do you know the difference between a sports blazer and a suit jacket? By this time, they've already read the headline. They've already, you know, checked this to make sure it doesn't look like spam. And then they're here at this point. So we went in, and we actually fill all of this stuff out. Now, I don't fill it all out. Notice this is one of my assistants, because she follows a checklist, and that checklist ensures that she does everything. Image optimization. So most people don't think to add, you know, the extra text onto images. Now, why do you think this matters? Some of the answers are on the board, but Mark, why do you think it matters with an image that you actually have an alternative text?
Why does it matter if you have an image?
So, so you're putting your book up online, and you're going to have some images in that book. But there, you can actually hide and put text in there underneath the image. Why do you think that would matter?
People who are using the terms within that text, those are the people I'm fishing for. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Partly there, you know. But can everyone in the world see?
Ah, no. Yes.
Exactly. And the search engines are very. I got a great friend, Chad Brown. We took him out one time. I get the video. I mean, we let him drive a truck. He's blind. He's been blind since birth. But it was crazy. I mean, we had a few beers too. This is back in Iowa during college time when you could do this stuff. Yeah. So we put this blind guy behind a truck, and there are like five or six of us in the back, and he goes driving through a farmer's field. And I think only three of us like were in the back at the end of that thing. But yeah, the point is my friend Chad comes over and he reads, and he doesn't really truly read. His computer reads to him. And all of this stuff gets picked up. Again, this is 2%, maybe 1% in the overall picture. But those 1%, those 2%, it's like a basketball game. They add up and they make for big – I mean, when you nail them all, it has a big effect. So – alternative text. We get in there. We put the, you know, sports jacket, blazer, and suit. We put those key words in there. We're not stuffing. There's a big difference. We're actually describing what it is. And again, most people do not do this. So image title attributes, you know, so we can put a, you know, you can put title again.
Antonio?
Yes.
Question for you. So what, on that last slide you had, what's the difference between alternative text, I'm sorry, the one previous, alternative text and the caption? I mean, is it?
Caption is going to go right below it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I would recommend captions as well, because it's just more, think of it as more meat and potatoes that you can throw into the soup, and you want to say those key words in, you want to be writing for human beings, but it, always first write for human beings, next you write for the search engines. And those spiders are always looking for keywords, such as, you know, do you know what keywords, Ben, what are some of the keywords that doctors are looking for on your website? Happy with job?
Perhaps that, or confidential, or where to find job, something along those lines.
How can a doctor be happy in his job? Or, you know, you put a sentence like that there, and even if it has nothing to really, you know, you could put that as the alternative text, and you wouldn't want to do that too often, but you want to be, initially you're kind of guessing at the keywords, and we'll talk about why. It used to not be the case. There used to be some great tools that you could use to figure out keywords. There are still a few. And I know that we've got some guys out there like Dave that probably know of some of those other tools, but there are ways that you can actually find, when people start to find your site, you can actually figure out what they're looking for. So keywords, we started touching in on this, but actually let me go ahead and ask, so Dave, what is a keyword?
A keyword in the sense of search engine optimization would be basically the target phrase or term that you would like the person to find your website. So in this case, if they go to Google and they type in a keyword phrase, the search phrase, that Google would say that, this website or page has a lot of this, and this seems to be what people are looking for, so we'll send them to it. So it's your target.
All right. So let me ask, I'm going to type in two things, and I want you guys, let me see really quick. Okay, so how... Okay, here we go. We've got how to tie a tie, right? I just typed in how, and look what pops up, right? How to tie a tie. Okay, and then the other one is going to be one is. All right. How to buy a tie. All right, and the other one is how to buy a tie. And how to buy a tie. I don't want to find that. How to buy a tie. Okay, so I just typed these in. And why do you what do you think is the difference? Like, why would you want to rank for one, and why would you want to rank for the other? Because I don't rank. I'm number like 5 or something. And actually, that's Google Plus, so I'm not going to be. I'm not even on the first page, because anything Google Plus is popping up there because it's showing me what it thinks I want to see. But here, this actually makes a little bit of sense. How to buy a tie. Why would you want to pop up for one and not the other? Or pop up for rather pop up for one? What do you think, Michelle?
You're saying, why do I think it wants you want it to, for buy instead
if
of...
If you could choose one, which one would you rather pop up for?
Tie. I meant to, how do you tie a tie?
Okay. And that one's got a lot more traffic. That's a legitimate answer. Now, Ben, what would you want to pop up for?
Well, I guess if you go to how to buy a tie, it's... I guess the number of searches are the look. I don't know if it's higher or not, but there's a higher probability that you'll be at the top of the page. I would guess that it's less competitive. So it's the I'm guessing here, but I'm guessing that you own a bigger chunk of maybe a smaller pie versus on how to tie a tie, you own very little of a very large pie.
Okay. And those are both solid points, but what I'm trying to show you guys here is understand that there is a difference in intent, and that if I am wanting to buy a tie, I'm wanting to spend money. If I'm wanting to tie a tie, I'm wanting to learn and figure out how to do something. So depending on what your business model is, make sure that the keywords you're putting in and you're trying to rank for have the intent that you're searching for. So that's why action words are important as well. So if you want people to purchase something, to buy, then make sure that you've got the word buy in there, and that way you can dominate for it. If you're just straight, and neither one is wrong or right. I mean, this is going to get more traffic. More men look on how to tie a tie than how to buy one. However, because this is something in which I am wanting to make affiliate income, and I'm wanting to bring in someone who's looking to make a purchase, who is a type who basically then I can send to a vendor, that's why I went for that. So you can create, it just gives you an idea of you're going to attract different people with different sets of keywords. And understand that people don't type in tie. They don't even type in tie a tie rarely. How to tie a tie. You know, so they're typing in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, both of them. And so you want to be trying to target phrases. It's going to be a lot easier. And the more specific your phrase, the easier it is for you to eventually start to pop up for it. So small things, but try to put your keywords near the start of the page. Always write for human beings, but never forget about the SERPs. Now, I use this in I'll put sports jacket, blazer, suit. What's the difference really? Now, there's two reasons I do this. One is I want to get, it's a psychological trick to get someone to read a few sentences into my article. And they've made a commitment that they're going to read most likely the rest of it. So that's why I do this on a lot of my writing. My first 4 to 5 sentences are going to be standalone in a really to try to grab your attention with an image to the right to balance that, which then links to the video. And then you can see all the keywords that we have in here.
Antonio?
Yes.
Just a thought. I follow you and I've been reading your stuff. And I notice your stuff is very well done for your audience. It's very, even your emails are very men targeted I mean, it was funny because I was reading your stuff, and the first thing that came to my mind is, this is definitely for a man, because even the way you talk, and women are more flowery, they want a little bit more, and you're like, to the point, I'm going to give you what I want. And my husband's like that too. You know, he says, stop taking me around the bush, just tell me. So that's one of the things that I've really noticed about your information.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. I'll admit that's intentional. And in fact, I write and I use my unfair advantage, and I do exclude certain people. Now, I am aware, and I get quite a few purchases from image consultants who come in and buy my products. But Michelle, I don't target them, and one of the reasons being is I actually want to stay away from that market. I have a friend, he's got a product that he just put out for image consultants, did really well, but it draws a customer who I'm not seeking, and mm-hmm. I've made a conscious decision not to attract. I also don't attract dandies. These are usually men that care more about the clothing than they do, and I care more about the guy who honestly just wants to use clothing as a tool. But the cool part about that is when you understand what you stand for, you actually can form friendships. Like Raphael over at the Gentleman's Gazette, he's a good friend. He writes for the Dandy, and a Dapper and Dandy. I mean, right there. I couldn't have planned that better. And that is fine because I don't want necessarily the type of person that he draws, because he writes about this is Raphael, and he wears an ascot. He wore an ascot into a truck stop when he met me for the first time. I don't even know how you do that in Wisconsin, but the guy did it. And I'm just not going to go down that path. But the great part is Raphael did, and he does a great job, and he's my good friend. He lives just a couple hours from me. And he was one of my guest speakers at StyleCon. And because of that, because I know he's not truly competition, we actually are we've been partners on numerous things. The same with Aaron Marino, some of these other guys. Now, getting back to the tech stuff, you want to effectively use your H1, H2. These are basically heading types. And if you're not familiar with that stuff, we can, but what is this? Internal linking. So this is something a lot of websites do very poorly. But by internally linking and making sure your hyperlinks actually use keywords, you can rank higher for specific words and use your own website to create links within. So does that make sense? Do I need to maybe find an example of interlinking? Let me see what I can find. Don't want to spend too much time on that, but basically that's one of – so I do this on my website all over the place. And anytime I'm linking to something, I'm using usually a set of keywords. See, premium courses – that's not really too much of a keyword. But grooming and – let me see how to stop procrastinating. How often should I wash my dress shirt? Yep, super exciting here, but educational. And look, it gets passed around and shared. How to wash your dress shirt. Who would have thought 45 people on Google Plus, for some reason, feel an image to share? Now, when I link over to my personal image system, I basically, this is going to another website. It's a YouTube video, and I'm using the keywords personal image system. Those, Google will associate those three words with the video that I'm sending them to, and that sends them to here. And that's important. Because whenever we go do a search, and let me pull it up, personal image. Okay, personal image and system. Eventually, let's see, look at that. I'm popping up there, popping up there, popping up there. Again, Google Plus, don't ignore those anytime you see those. But you can see I'm already starting to pop up for this, and eventually we'll dominate the entire page. We just bought this URL just a few months ago. Okay. And then Rib T, I link using keywords for there. Clothing, laundry bag, Amazon. That's a horrible keyword. I don't know why we're using that one, because no one wants to just go to Amazon. All right. So really quick, are there any questions with links? Any questions with basic stuff I've covered? If you do, let me know. We'll check in the comments, and I'll open this up.
Do you have them opening in a different window because you don't want them to leave your page, correct?
I open in a different window if it leaves my website.
Okay, like the personal system.
Yes, if it goes to another URL, I do a lot of times outbound links, I do, in a sense, open them out. I will link to a lot of outbound authority sites, because your outbound links, Google does look at this, and it doesn't, you know, this stuff, it's hard to say how much it's measured, but I am careful of who I link to, especially because I do a lot of affiliate linking to Amazon. I do what are called no-follow links, and that's where I tell Google to ignore this link, because I don't want to get to, in a sense, some people look at links as like a limited resource, or you can, you know, it really depends on the size of your website, but if you're getting into those type of issues, then you're in a good place, because you're asking good questions. Mail jewelry, cufflinks, tie tacks, these are linking out, and they're going other SEO strategies. Okay, so keyword tools, Google Analytics, talk a lot about, you know, not provided. Used to get this information. I used to know what people were typing and how they don't provide this stuff anymore. Basically, it hides 80% of the keywords now. Predictive search replaces the keyword tool. Semantic search is also an indicator of high-ranking keywords. So if you're looking for keywords to pop up, let's go with Dr. Jobs, Jokes, Jones, John, Jobs. So Dr. Jobs lists salaries in Dubai. I have no reason, I have no why people are wanting to go to Dubai, but apparently a lot of people are searching for that. So right there is a very quick, so you can do a quick search there, and they'll come back. Also, look down here, related searches. This is the new, I think, a quick way to figure out what some things you should consider writing in the topic, like medical jobs, doctor jobs and salaries, doctor job description, doctor careers. And then we can add another keyword to it, rural doctor jobs, Australia, South Africa. Interesting. So it may actually make sense, Ben, to interview a doctor in Australia, rural doctor salaries. So talking about actually discussing, you know, what do doctors give up in their salary? Because that's what people are looking for. Incentives, network, challenges, scheme, course, shortage. All of these would be great subjects for you to have right in here, because a lot of people, let's even rural doctor shortage. And you would probably be able to pop up for this. All right, SEO Quake. There's a few things I think I've shown you guys in the past some of the tools that I use. I use Google Chrome, and I'm a big fan of, what is this one called? Google Pay. No, this is Complete SEO Analysis. I don't know why it's called WR, Complete SEO Analysis. What I like about it is instantly I can look at a website. I can see its page rank, Alexa rating, compete rank, Quantcast rank. All of these things you could go into more detail and you can quickly learn, but these are indicators of, is this website a player? Google, Bing, Alexa. So from this, you can make a determination of, okay, this guy, you know, it's because sometimes people will try to sell you stuff, and you can very quickly see, do they get any traffic? Okay, this guy gets a little bit of traffic, and he's doing, you know, decent. So I can tell, because I've looked at enough of these, that Scottsdale, Arizona, I can tell where somebody's hosted, and I can, you know, I can see if they're a risk. All these like little indicators, which give me an idea. I mean, I've talked with people, and immediately, you know, I can tell them how long their website's been up. I can tell them how much traffic they're getting, because you start to realize it gives you negotiating power in terms of if someone's trying to charge you money to advertise on their website and you can clearly see they're not getting any traffic, it's like, hey, you know, you realize that they're trying to feed you, you know, some BS here. Or if some website, this is a better scenario, that you're trying to make a determination, should I advertise with them? Should I partner with this guy? And he's getting crazy traffic and he doesn't even know what to do with it. This may be an opportunity. Again, this is a simple plugin. There's other ones, but this is the one I use, and I use with Google Chrome.
And what's
What was that last part?
Are there any for IE, or they're only for Google Chrome?
I would just download and throw some on there and see what you can find. I mean, you want to find what works for you. But I just want you to be aware that this is an option for you. I would say Firefox will have quite a few. Chrome has quite a few. Honestly, I don't know a whole lot with Internet Explorer. I haven't used – I rarely ever use that that interface. And keyword density tool, that's another – you know, I would – if you're getting into that, you're definitely getting a bit. Now, there are a number of WordPress plugins, and you want to be able to use these. Be careful of too many plugins. Why, Trevor, why do you think it's a problem with too many plugins?
It slows down your site.
Exactly. So, Brian, you've got a great site, but you want to be careful. When you add too many plugins, it can really slow things down, and it can really weigh it down. So, okay, so that's a basic overview of SEO. Honestly, I mean, this is like entire, it's a very lucrative business now online. I would say it's important for you to have a basic understanding of SEO before you hire somebody. Because if you go out there and you hire an SEO, they're going to take you for a loop. And I'm talking, they charge, you know, easily a couple $1,000s a month. And if you don't know what to ask for, you're going to get sold snake oil. So, and there's a, just go grab a book on it, sit down, enjoy the read. I would highly advise SEO Moz. They're a great source for search engine optimization, deeper information. And we talk a little bit about Reach Global. Let me see. Right, how to stay on top. Choose one. Trying to go into, yep, we talked a little bit about Google and content marketing, SEO. I gave a, you know, obviously I went into a lot more detail than I did here. But really, it's about you gaining enough knowledge to be dangerous and for you to start building out what I talked about, that checklist. So let me go ahead and open this up. Are there any questions about SEO that I can possibly help with?
What was the name of that little, and I just put the question out there, I spelled Chrome wrong, but what was the name of that little thing that was attached to Chrome up top?
It's the plugin, and a complete SEO analysis. And you can enter pretty much any domain and compare. And I picked this up like 4 years ago, 3 years ago, so there's probably better ones out there now. But this one just, it simply has worked for me, so.
Thank you.
Yep. Ooh, I've found one of my better checklists. So here's the detail that I make. Oh, and by the way, this was updated and created by my assistants. I don't do this anymore. I created the first one. But if you ever have anyone work for you, I always make sure that they follow checklists. Doctors, astronauts, jet pilots use checklists. And usually, you know, and so anyone ever complains or says, hey, it stifles creativity, that's a bunch of BS. Checklists save lives, and they save you from having to spend time thinking so that you can spend time on other things. So we have a pre-publishing headlines. We go into the body of every article, subheading, images. I mean, all of these things we look at in the images. Video, formatting, summary, links, finalize the headline, add metadata, grammar, edit permalinks, add categories, run SEO check, preview, and then finally publish. So this works for my articles at A Tailored Suit. We have one actually for Bilingual Kids Rock, Real Men, Real Style, High Speed, Low Drag. We use these things because they work. And it allows you to, I know many of you guys at some point, maybe 6 months from now, a year from now, you may be hiring somebody. When you've got a checklist like this, guess what? You hand it to them and they have what to do. And you don't have to, you create the checklist first for yourself, then you can, it makes it easy to, once you've got plenty of these, guess what? You can hire someone because you know exactly what to give them and what to have them do. All right, Adam, any questions? Ben, BJ?
Dave,
okay, what do you got?
You guys go ahead.
Okay, Antonio, for when you're using the SEO, like the web ranking, now are you looking at other sites to see what their keywords are, or is it solely for your site?
That's a great question. I used to look, and that was something I used to spend time looking at my competitors and looking at what they popped up for. That's a great place to get started. Looking, so, you know, let's go to, do you have a competitor website that you want me to look at?
Yeah, if you look at, say, like Stone Brewing. So Stone, I'm not sure if it's Stone Brewing Company.
Brewing Company. Okay, so Stone Brewing Company. So immediately I can come into here, and I can see they've got a page rank of 5. That tells me immediately that they got a lot of trust with Google. Anything above 3, anything above 2 is decent trust. And then I can look at this, click here. I can, so they don't get a whole lot of traffic, which I don't expect. But I can see that they've had a big pickup right there. So this last month, for some reason, they doubled their traffic, or they got a lot more. Probably got picked up in the news or something. But they've got this big barrier. So to me, this is a problem. But I understand they're talking about drinking. So maybe they have to have something like this. I can see that they've that they're doing pretty well. I can also go in and I can look at their code. And I'm looking for what, so here is their, some of the keywords that they're popping up for. That's what they said that the search engines should rank them for. I don't know if that's good or if that's truly what, but I would say these guys are probably doing well because they're getting a lot of backlinks. There's just not a lot of content I'm seeing there. So also, let's see what else pops here. Instagram, that's great. Twitter. So I didn't talk about this, but you want to create multiple social media accounts because they will pop up in the search engines high for you. Twitter popped up, as you can see, number 2 right there. Instagram, you want to dominate. And they've got 112,000 followers. So that right there probably is one of the reasons why they're getting so much love. That's a good set of number of followers on Instagram. So they seem to me immediately, this is what, I take that they're an Instagram play in terms of traffic, and this is working well for them. And, you can look at that, you can be inspired by it, and it may be something that you connect better with Instagram. And this is the next, this is huge in terms of, Escondido right there. So they're showing it can be done. And I would, they're doing 15-second videos. So that was their, they only, 15-second videos do really well. and they did this 8 hours ago, and they've got almost 3,000 likes. So yeah, so going in and back, kind of like tearing apart what other people are doing, simply shows you the opportunity of what a beer company can do on Instagram. Just because somebody's doing it does not mean that you can't replicate this and be a fast follower.
Awesome. Thanks, Antonio.
Yep.
Hey, Antonio, can I add something to that too?
Sure.
Have you ever used SEMrush.com?
Which one's this?
SEMrush, SEMrush.com.
SEMrush.
And then what you can do is that you, even using the free account, you can put into the, it'll come up right here, but you'll put in like the title, yep, so that's it. So you can put that in there. There you go. And then click search. And then on the left-hand side, you'll see organic research. Click that. And then positions. Click positions. All right. And then if you scroll down, it's going to give you a list of all the keywords that they rank for. So scroll down.
This is
good. There you go. Their number one is Stone Brewery, which, of course, brings in 25% of their traffic. But you can basically go through the top 10 that they rank for. But really what's key is that you can also look at someone's page. So, for example, say I wanted to find out all the keywords that, well, we'll use Antonio for this, say Antonio's, you know, how to buy a tie. Then I could place that exact page into this, and I can look for all the words and the percentages, you know, of traffic that he brings from that, which will help you to kind of diversify your keywords inside of the post itself.
Awesome. And so, as you, I mean, you guys can see, you've got access to some really smart people here in the group. Little things like this. Before, I mean, you come in here, explore, but remember, you can only look at your competitors so long. You need to get out there and create, make your mistakes and get that. I mean, look at these guys for the longest time. They're getting 28, 27, you know, then all of a sudden they start getting traffic. Where did that come from? What happened here? And after that, you know, boom, start picking up for them. So a lot of information here. Any other questions? Any other comments?
Hey, Antonio, what's your favorite way of getting backlinks?
Creating amazing content that people want to link to. So infographics has been pretty good. And just I focus on creating the best content in a specific area. And then I need to do a better job of this, but I need to better advertise. One of our, and we need to release the 2015 edition. So one example of this was creating an article no one in my industry had ranked all the other fashion and style blogs. Some people had done it, but they did like a half-assed job, to be honest. And so I'm like, okay, well, we're going to take 417 websites and we're going to rank them. So this gave me the excuse to reach out to hundreds of websites and say, hey, we've ranked all the men's style blogs. And of course, I only really rank about 10, and then we've got some other ones which we put in there. But from this, I had tons. Everyone is curious, where do I rank? And then we give honorable mentions, and then if they want to see all of it, we take them to a spreadsheet. Now, I didn't create all of this, and I didn't rank all of them. I do have an idea of who should be in the top 25. Oh, but as you can see, it's having an error. But we actually do have a Google Doc where all of this is at, and it's got over 418 websites ranked. And we've got a new one. There it was. So we went just – if you're going to go big, you might – I mean, go really big. And when people see this, they're like, holy cow. And I do this with my Christmas lists as well. Instead of putting 10 items, I put like 200 items. And people, because it's a little bit kind of almost entertaining, if you would, you know, going back to our first point, they check it out because they're just like, who in the world goes into this much detail? Well, we do, because that was the way I wanted to stand out. And I've had people argue with me about their rankings. It's kind of funny, but and that's one of my top. Got tons of backlinks for that one. Any other questions? Thanks, BJ. Imagine if you did a ranking of beers, you know, in Southern California. I don't know if any, you know, you did a ranking of California beers, beers ranking by state, or you could do a, you know, like, you could bring in a celebrity, bring in that guy, you know, the beer milers, and have them rank the beer. I don't know, just, you know, a Marine ranks every beer for the best beer in every state. You know, Marines versus Navy SEALs, like, which beer is easiest to slam? It's like, all right. Okay, guys. Well, we're already well past the hour. I just got a call from my wife, so I got to head home. But I recorded this session. I'm going to stop recording it.